Blog Talk Radio.
Of Eastern Airlines brings you another episode of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. As you know, we like to start each of our shows by playing this beautiful theme music played by the New York Philharmonic Orchestra and directed by Mr. Andre Kostolanyk. Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to be with you doing what we most enjoy doing, talking about Eastern Airlines. We come to you live each Monday, as we have over the last 3.5 years. It's been fun talking about the company we dedicated a great number of years to and a company that gave us so much in return. That is why we keep broadcasting the good news of Eastern during these radio programs. Neil, who do we have as host for tonight?
Well, first of all, I have a bad microphone here, from what I've been told. How does it sound, Jim?
You sound clear right now.
Okay, well, let's try this. We have our hosts from all over the place. Our board is just literally lit up tonight. But let's start off in Roaring Gap, North Carolina. Steve Thompson, how are you, Steve?
Hi, Neil. Hi, Jim. Hi, everyone. I'm Steve Thompson here in Roaring Gap, North Carolina, where the weather is great, the food is fantastic, and the people are good-looking. Neil, I think maybe it's time to start up the engine and get the show on the road, or I mean in the air.
Well, let's delay that engine start and introduce some of our other guests that are showing up here tonight. And golly, peace, like I say, everybody's listening in tonight. Chuck Albright in the Villages, Florida. How are you, Chuck?
I'm doing just fine. We're having just fantastic weather. Nice and cool. We're glad you guys from Roaring Gap sent us down some cool weather because at 7 o'clock when I tee off yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we have really nice weather into the 50s and 60s, and it kind of drifts on up into the high 70s. So all the snowbirds are coming down now, and I guess it's going to get a little hard getting out there on the golf course, but it was really fantastic weather, and I really appreciate the cool breeze that we're getting. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, and down there, let's see, we've got two folks down there and in the West Palm Beach area, but Cecile Intriago, how are you, Cecile?
I'm great, and the weather is great. We're in the mid-70s. It's perfectly beautiful skies. Great time to be in Florida.
Great, great. And let's see. I see up there in New York we've got two folks. George Jen, how are you, George?
I'm fine, Neil. Thank you. It's a beautiful day up here. Should be out fishing, but I figured I'd take a night's rest and stay home for once.
And Frank's always with us tonight. Frank's from New York. Frank, give us your last name again. By golly, I've just been saying Frank. I need to know that last name. It's S, starts with an S, I believe. Frank, hello.
That's right, S-I-G-N-O-R.
Pronounce it Signor.
Signor.
And you're doing fine? Your area of New York is
fine out here on Long Island.
Okay. I'm sure you missed
it. And we're okay down in West Palm Beach also, Neil.
Okay. All right. Who else?
This is Jim Hart.
John Roos, you're in the Maryland area now?
Right now, Neil, I'm in Philadelphia with Captain Dan Danella and his lovely wife, Jane, and we're right now going back to enjoy some cod and some salmon that Dan caught out of the ocean. So they'll be listening, too.
Okay. Area code 305. Who do we have down in the Miami area? Well, that's just a guess. Hopefully some of these area codes that I see on my board tonight will punch the button number one. Tell us how that works, Jim Hart.
Yes, thank
and,
you.
Jim?
Yes.
We do have a host from South Carolina with a report.
I forgot the most important is our new member of our team, Gay Harvey. Gay, I'm sorry. I don't have all the list here. We've got so many folks. Gay, it's so good to have you back with us again. Hello, Gay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Calling in from the Low Country of South Carolina.
Why do they call it the Low Country, Gay?
Well, I would have to just assume because it's very flat and at sea level. I don't really know technically, but that's my guess.
Probably the same reason they call Savannah, Savannah.
Probably.
The savannas of the area. Okay.
That's right.
All right, Jim Hart, take it from there.
All right, good. Thank you, Neil. Just as a reminder, folks, you can call in to 213-816-1611 if you'd like to be on the air with your host. Once you hear the host, just press number one on your phone dial pad. This will open your phone for live conversation. Don't forget, we also have a toll-free number, 877-572-1861. Let me repeat both of those numbers, Neil, and then you can tell us about tonight's show and guests. There, you can telephone now, 213-816-1611 or 877-572-1861. Go ahead, Neil, it's all yours.
Okay, very good. I guess I'm coming across loud and clear. And
yes.
That's the way our communication should always be in an airplane, loud and clear. Okay, don't forget, folks, that you can reach us on the show at 7 p.m. every Monday evening by going to www.ealradioshow.com. That's EALradioshow.com. Or you can go to our sponsor's website, and that is www.repa, R-E-P-A, online, repaonline.com. And there you'll see two telephone icons, and it has Blog Talk Radio on the one that we broadcast every Monday evening. So just click on the arrow in the circle, and especially at 7 p.m. Now, you want to go there and catch up on some of the archived shows that we have had, you can do that at leisure. Just go to either one of those sites and click on the episode that are shown on the radio dial there, and you'll hear that episode. But make sure at 7 p.m. that you wait for the red light that says on the air, and click on the arrow, and you'll hear the show. Now, Steve, we're going to start that engine, and it's probably not been tuned, but let's see how it sounds tonight.
Roll. Clear prop.
Clear.
Clear prop. Still haven't tuned it up. So, well, let's start our show tonight, and we hope you enjoy it.
Hello?
Cecile, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm here.
It's your turn.
Hi, Tim.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I supposed to read? I'm sorry. Okay. Hi, Tim. This is June in cruise scheduling. I've got a trip for you tomorrow. You're legal, and it will fill up your month to 84 hours.
Well, now, tell me more. Who will I'll be flying with? How many days, and where to?
Well, let me give you the bad news first. It's Captain Jim Cranston. The good news, it's a 3-day trip with layovers in San Francisco and Miami.
Well, let me guess. The regular first officer got sick all of a sudden, or type 2'd off the trip. You know, June, I filled out my schedule and made a special notation that I did not want to fly with Cranston. How many guys have canceled on you already? This guy's an accident waiting to happen. I don't want to be along on the flight. Don't you guys comment?
Yeah, all of us in crew scheduling have heard the same remarks in one form or another. At least you're civilized about it. I'm sure hope you'll take the trip. You know, if you don't, I have to give a reason. You're legal to take it, and you'll have sufficient duty rest since your last trip. And don't forget, you'll be able to drop your last trip and still come out with nearly a full month.
Hey, I'll tell you what, June. When I get back, and I should say if I get back, go out with me to Ruth Chris' house, pick up the tab, and you always wanted to go out with me. Now here's your chance.
Tim, I appreciate you buying my lunch in the employees' cafeteria last week, but don't think that was a date. You're a nice guy, and I'm sure you're dating some flight attendant, or should I say flight attendant, plural.
Well, I can take that maybe a yes and a no. I'm not dating anyone now.
Okay, I'll go out with you after you get back from the trip. Can we go to Golden Corral instead? I've heard that's a favorite place with you pilots.
I'll tell you what. I'll choose the cuisine, pick up the tab just to show you I'm not a cheap date. If you'll respect my request to not fly with this jerk again in the future.
Yes, agreed. But one of the other schedulers might not be so accommodating as me.
Tim Andrews checks in with crew scheduling at the airport exactly 1 hour before departure to meet the captain and go over the weather and dispatch papers.
Hi, Jim. Has the old man checked in yet? I didn't frown.
Tim, he's back at dispatch, signing the dispatch release. If I were you, I'd head back there right away. He didn't look too happy when he checked in a few minutes ago. Don't forget our date when you get back. Promise you'll tell me why he's not very well liked by the first officers when we go out.
Yeah, but I'd rather talk about anything else over dinner and some fine wine than bring this guy up in our conversation. I got 3 days with this guy.
Tim walks down the short hallway to flight operations and dispatch.
Hello, Captain Cranston. Good to see you again. This is a regular trip for the month. Looks like a layover.
Well, it's my regular trip, but I haven't seen the first officer who's the bid holder in the last two trips. It's just as well. He's been on my trips before, and he can't seem to do anything right. I suppose you can follow the normal operating procedures, right?
Well, I haven't heard any complaints the way I perform my duties. But I hope you'll be, Captain. I intend to do my job correctly and professionally. Keep in mind the safety and comfort of the passengers and the cabin crew. If it's all right with you, sir, I'll mosey on down to the aircraft and do the pre-flight. I see we have weather systems moving east with that extends down from Canada to Houston area. I hope there's no write-ups on the weather radar. Looks like we'll be needing it approaching that line of weather.
Are you concerned about a few bumps in the road? Hell, son, if you can't stand the heat, then get out of the kitchen. I don't go around weather, and keep that in mind. The aircraft is built to withstand more than you seem to think it can take. Deviation around weather costs the company millions of dollars each year. I could say I've saved my share of fuel costs over the years, unlike most of the guys flying today. Yeah, I'll see you on board.
Flight 88 is 1 hour into the 4 hour and 45 minutes of its flight to San Francisco. The weather has been nearly perfect up to this point of the flight, with 185 passengers on board and a crew of six working the cabin of the big new Boeing 757. At an altitude of 39,000 feet, the lineup ahead is as advertised in the weather briefing back in Atlanta. It looks like a dark curtain of thunderstorms with brilliant flashes of lightning crossing several states from Canada to Texas. Some cloud tops appear to be well above the cruising altitude of Flight 88.
If it's okay with you, Captain, I'll warm up the radar. It looks like another 20 minutes and we'll be needing it.
Well, if it makes you feel better, go ahead. Mind you, I'll be staying on course with no air traffic control vectoring. If it's absolutely necessary, I'll turn on the fasten seatbelt sign.
May I call the senior flight attendant and advise her that she might want to suspend service if they're going to do meals in the back?
Well, go ahead, but it may be just a few minutes of choppy air. I doubt anything more.
Just as Tim is about to call the senior flight attendant Luann Wiggins comes up to the flight deck.
Hey, guys, want coffee or soda? We haven't finished serving yet, but I'll bring you crew meals when we're done. Oh, my gosh. Look at that line of weather. Are we going to go through that, or can we go around it? It looks unfriendly from here.
Well, according to our radar, it looks like there are several breaks in the line of storm cells about 40 or 50 miles south of Little Rock. Captain, it looks like on our heading, we could go slightly to the...
Listen, I don't think you heard what I said back there. I do not deviate around any weather. Ma'am, I'll turn the fasten seatbelt on. When you go back, you can tell the passengers to stay in their seats until I turn the seatbelt sign off.
Well, Eastern 88, you've got a line of thunderstorms about 100 miles up ahead, with tops reported by another flight to be greater than their assigned altitude of flight level 410. Looks like if you go about 50 miles to the south from your present heading, you should find a break in the line of storms. We sent Delta just ahead of you on a vector, and they said they were able to pick their way through most of the weather. What's your intentions, Eastern?
Tim, tell Memphis we'll be okay at this altitude and on this heading.
Okay, Memphis, the captain says we'll stay on course and altitude. We'll let you know about the ride after we get through this line.
Roger that, Eastern 88. Just keep us advised if you want any heading changes to avoid the weather. The skies darken as Flight 88 nears the line of weather. First, they are in and out of the high cirrus clouds that seem to point the direction of the line movement eastward. So they are in a solid layer of clouds. First Officer Tim is working the pitch of the radar upwards and downwards to get a complete picture trajectory of this line of storms that appear to be about 100 miles in crossing. That's nearly 10 minutes that the flight will be exposed to varying degrees of turbulence.
Captain, are you sure you want to penetrate this line?
Well, to be continued. This is to be continued. We hope with a little bit more professional. Well, I don't know whether to call it that or not. But anyhow, we had fun reading this script. And, folks, this was based on some of the guys that actually flew with a few of the pilots that were from the old school had this reputation that they were saving the company money, just like Captain Cranston said, saving the company money by not deviating, not slowing down, and going straight ahead. And some of these old-timers flew even the Mayo Wings and the DC-3s and the Constellations, DC-7s of Eastern. And when they progressed over into the jet age, they still had that desire to save the company money. But, of course, it was almost to the point of being almost hazardous the way some of the guys actually penetrated severe thunderstorms. So we want to talk about that just a little bit, and then we'll get into another area that I want to talk about tonight. But tonight our cast included Captain Cranston with Steve Thompson. The first officer was Chuck Albright. Crew scheduler was Cecile. Narrator was supposed to have been Jim Hart. Don't know what happened to his microphone, but it seemed to have cut off. Flight attendant was Gay Harvey, and Memphis Center was supposed to have been Howard Mucci or either George Jen, and his microphone must also have been cut off. But at any rate, we'll see if we can get all those microphones and everybody operating to a peak performance on our next continuation of this skit. Classifications of turbulence, folks, starts from Category 0 to Category 6, which is extreme. Severe turbulence is probably what Captain Cranston and First Officer Tim were about to experience, which is severe turbulence is Category 5. Severe turbulence is a turbulence that causes large, abrupt changes in altitude and attitude. Altitude, of course, in feet, and attitude, well, whether you're banked to the left or banked to the right, nose high, nose low, that would be attitude. In most cases, severe turbulence will be unanticipated. Unsecure items are tipped over or tossed about. Standing or walking is impossible without holding on to part of an aircraft, like the headrest of the seats. Occupants are forced violently against seatbelts. And then we have extreme turbulence. Turbulence in which the aircraft is violently tossed about and is practically impossible to control. It may cause structural damage as well. And it's reported as extreme turbulence. So the degrees of turbulence starts off with a light chop, which is from 5 to 14 knot changes in the indicated airspeed. A moderate chop is a 15 to 25 knot change in indicated airspeed. Light turbulence is about 5 to, well, we just mentioned that. But the severe turbulence is plus 25 knot changes in indicated airspeed and 2,500 to almost 3,000 feet per minute vertical speed changes. And that's up and down vertical speed changes, 3,000 feet per minute. Extreme turbulence is over 3,000 feet per minute vertical speed changes. Now, let me ask those folks that have flown, either as passengers and or as crew members, did you ever experience anything like just reported, whether it was a moderate chop or severe turbulence, or have you ever been in extreme turbulence? Anyone want to venture their experience out?
Well, I have at about 24 to 25,000 hours of flying time, and I don't know that I have ever experienced extreme turbulence.
Neil Seal here. I have. When I flew to Bogota, Colombia, we went over, when we were over the mountains, the plane dropped, I don't know how many feet, because I, thank God I had my seatbelt on. And the flight attendant was really neat because what he did is he hung on to the sides of the chairs, and when he got up, he just clapped his hands and did an ole to calm everybody down. And we were calm and everything, but it scared me to jitters. It really was frightening. I don't know how many feet we went down. Bad.
You know, sometimes white knuckle flyers that grab the armrest or whomever is in the left seat or the right seat of them, if they're sitting in the middle, and a light chop would be extreme turbulence for those folks. But any other comments?
Yeah, Neil, this is Jim. I was flying right after we had taken delivery of our jet prop Electras. I was flying from Houston to New Orleans, and we had some sort of storm. I just could not believe it. I was sitting three-quarters of the way back in the cabin, and as I looked up forward, the cabin seemed to do a twisting motion, and I'd never had that happen before. The ups and downs I could handle. But when I saw the cabin do a twisting motion, both left and right, I left the airplane in New Orleans and took another plane to New York.
Okay, Jim. You know, fortunately, pilots sit at the very front end of the airplane, and they can't actually see the wings of these swept-back jet aircraft today. In the old days, we could actually look out the window and see those straight leading edges of the propeller-driven airplanes, and we could watch the ice form, and we could watch them flex a little bit up and down. But in the new modern jet aircraft, you can't see that far back. And I went back one time to observe, I forgot what it was, and we were in a little bit of turbulence, and I was watching the engines. I think it was on the 1011, and the pods, they just kind of are floating out in different directions, it seems. But these aircraft wings can flex like you wouldn't believe. The wings of that can flex about 40 feet up or down. I think they're tested at about 65 feet and an upward load factor, and then down maybe about 40 feet before the spar would actually crack. So the manufacturer does a lot of testing with the structure of the airplane. So these airplanes can really withstand a lot of turbulence. And, I believe it can do extreme turbulence. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that type of turbulence on the next show, and what happened to Tim, and whether he decided to return back to Atlanta with Captain Cranston. That became a little issue, and it was resolved. So we'll resolve it in our next show. So, hey guys, thanks so much for participating in that little skit. I appreciate it. A lot of fun to do these things. And I wish I had more sound effects for the show we have in the past. But not normally, but at this time of the year, Halloween, I try to download our Halloween episode that we had back in 2012 when we did that show in the Bermuda Triangle. And I couldn't get it to load. So we didn't have it on this show, and of course our next broadcast is after Halloween, so we won't do that again. Maybe 2015 we'll bring that out. But what I'd like to talk a little bit about tonight, and I see our board is really lit up, with a lot of callers from different area codes. And I'm sure they're calling about the first flight that we have been sending email out and talking on the radio show about the first flight that we hope to charter with the new Eastern Airlines and fly from Miami to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and then back to Miami. And we have had a tremendous response, I think, up to this point, and I think it will continue to add more passengers to our passenger load manifest. And we've been taking names, phone numbers when we got phone numbers, and email addresses when we get email addresses. And we want to email or contact the email, not necessarily phone contact, to all of those that expressed interest in being on the first flight. We have a couple of things to resolve. One of the big problems, that we, not problems, but resolutions that we have to do. When New Eastern Airlines will be certified and ready to take that first charter. So we're staying in touch with the New Eastern Airlines management, and we have been told by, I don't know, I got an email, and perhaps any of you guys that know the latest scoop about the delivery date, December 3rd, being the delivery date of the first Boeing 737-800 to Miami. And then they had originally intended to have a little celebration there with talks, speeches, and so forth. Does anyone have the latest on that?
Neil, this is Jim. The latest that I had was that today we were going to have an update, and it was going to be later than the December 3 date that was initially announced.
Yeah. Hello, Neil.
Hi.
This is Dito Borelli.
Hey, Dito. Can you bring us up to date?
Can you hear me, Neil?
Yes,
yeah,
I can hear you, Dito.
Okay, the latest was an email came out today from Ed Weigel that within a day or so they should have another date target for that new airplane to come in. It didn't have an exact time, but he's supposed to make some kind of announcement today, which never did come about, but evidently it's going to be pretty close. I don't know. But that was the latest on that target date.
Okay.
So.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vito Borelli, and Vito has worked so long and hard in so many years being the president and just running the Eastern Airlines Retiree Association, doing a magnificent job for all members. I encourage anyone listening to join EARA, and they can contact Vito Borelli. Vito, what's your email address?
Yeah, EARA at AOL.com.
That's pretty simple, EARA at AOL.com. And ask for
a phone number you want. Phone number is area code 305-884-6132.
Okay, there you have it, folks. And you might want to consider, especially if you're an ex-Eastern employee, former Eastern, I should say, employee, then by golly, you ought to join the organization. Vito has arranged so many great pass privileges for all of the members of EARA. And there's so much news of the chapters around the country, and even in Mexico and San Juan. And so keep up with the area you're living in. And it's a great newspaper. Comes out now, Vito, what, every 2 months?
Every other month, yeah. We have a newspaper every other month. And the other thing, Neil, in relation to pass riding, we've got 21 airlines that we're affiliated with for pass privileges. So it's a great thing, and I just recently come back from San Juan, Puerto Rico. We had a airline pass bureau conference there, and I usually go with Dan Blight. He's the one that writes all our tickets for pass privileges, and we made some good connections, and hopefully we get a few more coming on board pretty soon. So if you are an Eastern, former Eastern person, The only thing that's required is that you're receiving a pension from the Past Bureau Association, and that gives you the authority to fly on Past Bureau, past flying. It's all that's required. So believe it or not, it's the best thing. Well, it's kind of tough today to get on flights, but I keep telling everybody, try Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Stay away from the weekends. The airlines don't need pass riders on weekends. So but things have been pretty good. So our latest one was an airline up in Canada. So we have some great privileges. So think about it and join us.
Very good.
We got our picnic coming up next month, November 9th. We're having a C.B. Smith Park up here in Broward County for our picnic, our yearly picnic. So we're doing pretty well.
And Vito, in the newspaper that comes out, Keeping in Touch is the title of it.
Yes.
They put together all of the special lunches around the system in Detroit and New York and Boston and whomever, whichever EARA chapter is having a luncheon, then it is in that newspaper, and you can follow what's happening, picnics like Vito was talking about. And there's some pretty good-sized picnics. I remember going to the one down in Ocala area. It was always a very busy picnic. And Atlanta area, of course, has several events during the year. So it's a great place to... Yeah.
Raleigh, Durham, DTW, Washington. We've got 21 chapters out there, so take advantage of it, folks.
Very good, very good. And Vito, now you have moved over to the Eastern Airline, the new Eastern Airlines facility. Is that correct?
Yes, right across the way from my office. Really, it's Building 5A. As a matter of fact, okay. We had a meeting just last Tuesday, and a gentleman by the name of Michael Jennings, he's a manager of something there at the New Eastern Airlines. He asked me for some posters and things like that we've got stored over in our Broward County College where we have all the kids doing the categorizing. So I took him with me. We went over there. He took a bunch of posters that he wants to display in their new office. So he said, "Hey, we'll set them over to get some of that stuff." So I accommodated him and gave whatever he wanted, so it worked out fine. So,
well, you know, you see Ed Wiegel often, I'm sure.
Occasionally, I do, yes.
Okay, and we want to have you to put it in his mind that we have people ready at the gate, ready to get on the first flight, the 737-800 from Miami to San Juan. And Vito, you weren't with us last week, and we've done some research.
Yeah, I was listening, but I got on kind of late. I did listen. I don't know when the first flight will be available. Like I said, I could tell more or less after we get the first airplane what some of the decisions are going to be. But I think we're talking probably February, maybe early February or early March before we can probably have any flights out of there to San Juan. I don't know for sure, but mention it to Ed about 55 names on board already to go on that 3-day jaunt to San Juan, Puerto Rico. So he's well aware of it. So,
Vito, we've got Cecile. Give us the latest report, Cecile.
We have 112 confirmed passenger list. And the passengers that are listening, if you did not get an email from me, that means we don't have your email or your correct email. So if you could shoot it to Neil for the correct email, he'll forward it to me. And we have 112 passengers on board ready to go.
Oh, wow,
okay.
That sounds great. Ooh.
Doesn't that sound great? And you know, Vito, if you could help us out, edition of EAR Keeping in Touch, and if Repa on the Repartee magazine, Jim Holder and the Silver Liner Group, Silver Falcons, can all advertise the first flight with the new Eastern Airlines, I know that we can fill this 150-seated capacity aircraft and perhaps even require a second airplane. And what a publicity stunt that would be as far as the press, the media, and taking advantage of all the former ambassadors to Eastern Airlines to promote the new Eastern Airlines. So we are really making plans. So you might just tell Ed Weigle that. And we've even talked to some of the hotels in San Juan. Matter of fact, one hotel really would like our business, and that's the Ritz-Carlton. But I think they priced themselves out because of the room pricing. And that was because simply because it was the height of their season in February. Uh-huh. And so maybe March might make a difference. But another hotel that's being considered is the Carib Hilton. And it's been completely modernized, and it's right there at Condado Beach, halfway between Condado and Old San Juan, and beautiful facilities. The crews used to lay over there, and I think they still have a casino there. But there are so many fine hotels that we can negotiate a good room rate, and I'm shooting for maybe about $200 to $250 a night. Because it is seasonal down there, and and so with that, and what we can get the seats from the new Eastern Airlines, we're not asking for a free trip to San Juan and back. We're wanting to pay our fair share. So, but when I look on Travelocity or some of the other booking engines, I guess they're called. Expedia, and I look at their pricing in January and February, you can get round trips for around $250 on American Airlines. We talked about that last week, and I think we can probably, hopefully we can get it for a little bit less, especially since it's a publicity flight with former Eastern employees. So, you know, we'd like to get that price down. I'd like to keep it down so we can, you know, take this whole thing and have a real large celebration there in San Juan, and even Miami to kick off the departure.
Yeah, well, I'll try to keep him informed of what we're trying to do as far as I'm sure he's going to be very surprised to hear you got 112 confirmed names. My God, I was surprised because last week we had 54, so you already doubled it.
Vito,
if you want to be on the list, send Neil an email so we have you on the list and on the plane, okay? We have a special seat reserved for you. All right?
Thank you.
But, you know, I got
Let me see what
today.
I can do with Ed and try to get the information to him. Hopefully we'll get something going here. It's okay?
I just got an email from one person that put himself on the list, and then he emails back and he says, I want you to include three others. So, you know, the word's spreading around, and the only marketing we're doing is right here on the microphone, and that's where people have heard about what we're trying to do, and they are telling their friends. A lot of these folks are talking to their colleagues that they used to work with Eastern Airlines, and they are Facebooking this information to their friends on their Facebook. And, you know, a lot of folks have got 100, 200, 300, 400 Facebook friends. And so multiply that down, and it's tremendous what the Internet can get out with people that want to tell others about this Eastern flight.
Well, whatever, there's a gal by the name of LaPointe. She's the one that put out a message that the new Eastern has a different date because as soon as we get it, we'll let you know. The date from December 3rd has been changed for some reason. It's not quite, the plane won't be ready for that particular day, but they continue to try to get the thing ready as soon as possible. So as soon as, and that's on the Internet. That's on the Facebook.
Very
so
good.
That goes all over the place. So I'm sure
Very
it's
good
to have it there. So I'll do my best, Neil and Jim, to do whatever I can with Ed and let him keep him notified on what's happening, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Vito.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Ed Weigle's mother, as a matter of fact, is a member of our Eastern Radio Show website. and she listens to us, and she's up in Birmingham, Alabama, so maybe she can call her son and say,
okay, maybe she'll call and talk to him. Right. Okay.
But anyhow, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. It could be a lot of fun, and we'd like to see it happen. And I know it's a long. I don't think it's a long time. Not with the people that that have already expressed an interest. I have one person saying they thought it was a reality that it was a go. And I don't think we've ever.
Neil, you're breaking up, Neil.
Okay. Cecile or Jim Hart or Steve or anyone want to make a comment?
Just I want to repeat that those that didn't get an email from me and Neil and Jim, if you could send an email to Neil so that we have your correct email address, and anyone that wants to be on the passenger list, just go on the Eastern Airlines website for the radio show and put your email address, and if you can, put your phone in case we have to contact you, but it'll be 99% by email. Jim, could you give the website address, please?
Yes, www.ealradio.com. Is that the one you wanted, Seal?
Yes, yes. So that,
radio
and then
show.
Click on
Jim, radio show?
It's radio show,
right.
Yeah. EAL radio show.
.com, yeah.
EAL radio show.com, right. And then click on there. You'll see a button there, and you can contact Neil, the producer, and then we'll keep that list growing. And Vito, I think we're going to hit 150 by the end of this show, probably by tomorrow. So you can tell Ed
yeah.
we have a full airplane for sure.
Yeah. I think, Vito, it would probably... I think Cecile is right. I think we will hit 150 perhaps tomorrow or the next day. So we've got an airplane full waiting for it to happen.
I'm sure, yeah.
We're going to overbook the flight, guys, and then we'll have to give passes out free. What do they used to call those passes when you have an overbooked flight? I should know that.
Denied boarding.
Yeah, there you go. Denied boarding pass. we're gonna overbook the flight. Well, one thing's
now,
for sure, we're gonna have plenty of pilots on board. I know we'll have the younger pilots in the cockpit. Unfortunately, our pilots are beyond flying age, but I'm gonna feel real safe with all you pilots on board. Let me tell you.
I'm going to ask Cecile to do us all a favor, and that is to keep us posted on any changes that we hear about the Eastern taking delivery early or when the certification comes about and when they think they might be ready to book their first charter flight. And also, I want her to see if we can start emailing our proposed itinerary or agenda or I don't know what is an itinerary. I guess it's itinerary. Of what we expect to be the trip to be like. In other words, people are coming in. We've got contacts from Kansas, from California, from all over the country, folks that want to fly to Miami to be on that first flight to San Juan. So we'll need a hotel to book some of our out-of-town people from from the Miami area. So we're looking at the hotel right there in the Miami area. Maybe have a little blast-off party before the next day's departure. So we'll include our little itinerary list that we would like to see unfold, you know, to happen as we go further with this thing.
Okay, and Neil, we'll do a memo. Neil, Jim, and I will compose a memo, and we'll e-blast it to everybody that I have an email. That's why it's important for us to get your email so we can keep you informed.
Thanks, Cecile.
Okay.
Any other comments from any of our folks?
Yeah, Neil, I have one. This is Jim. Speaking of denied boarding compensation or whatever, I'm reminded of the days when we had to be somewhere and we were able to use a C-1 passes in the company. I would never, ever board before paying passengers with a C-1 pass because there was always that possibility of an oversail, and I would always wait to make sure the airplane fair-paid passengers were on board before I got in there.
having worked at the ticket counter both in Miami and Fort Lauderdale, Miami especially, it's so much fun during Christmas holidays when you have an overbooked flight, and I'm being facetious with so much fun, because it's not fun at all. People just want to get to their destination during the holidays, but on non-holidays, it's okay because, you know, people get a free trip the next time they fly. But it's quite challenging for the ticket agent to handle the 250 passengers. As a matter of fact, Neil, if I have a time for a real short story on a flight to San Juan, as a matter of fact, it was overbooked. I think I mentioned this before, and we had to wait 8 hours in Miami because of a mechanical thing, and the manager at Miami asked me to handle the flight. So what I did to entertain the 200-plus passengers, almost 300, we raffled a bottle of wine, and it was like played games at the gate, and it entertained them. So it was a way to keep them busy and not jumping up and down because the plane wasn't departing on time.
I wanted to bring up something. At the rate that we're getting people, which one of you guys are going to call up Ed and tell him he's got to buy another airplane?
That would be a happy experience.
I know.
Hey, Neil.
Yeah, it is.
George, I hear you.
Can you still hear me out here?
I hear you now, yes.
Yeah,
welcome back.
I guess I don't know what happened.
I don't either. Well, I tell you what, I didn't know what to do because I had a board full of area codes and numbers, and it's almost impossible to work this little small computer radio show with about two dozen phone numbers on my screen. I remember at times when we first started the show, we were lucky to have one or two phone numbers appearing on our board here. And so at any rate...
Well, that's because we have a great producer in you, Neil. So you really do a phenomenal job with this. No, you put it all together, so we have to give accolades here. You're a great producer.
Well, I call this kitchen table radio, and that's basically what we have, at least at this end. You guys are a lot better than what I can produce here. So, but George, go ahead. If you've got a comment, George, Jen, make it.
No, I didn't have any. I was just wondering because I was doing my part there, but apparently it didn't come through. I don't know why.
No, you would have done it better than I did.
Oh, you did a great job.
All right.
Maybe you had the mute button on.
Well, you know, every once in a while
I sometimes
I mute out voices that I think are causing some background noise. And heavy breathing, for instance, I hear it now. But some people will take heavy breathing, and and I know I don't think Howard would be mad at me for talking to him, but about him. But at one time, when Howard would come on live, Howard Mucci, he's 92 years old, and when he would come on live, he would do that breathing into his microphone. That he had one of these headsets with a microphone fastened to it, and he had that thing. Instead of in front of his mouth, I think he had it under his nose. So every breath that he made was sent out over the air. So I try to keep things like that and out. The only way I can do that is filter it with cutting off a microphone. And
I thought it was the crew scheduler thinking about her date with that cheap pilot earlier in the skit.
The coral at the Golden Corral, yeah. It sounds like a pop.
Anything to have a nice date. Treat a girl nice.
Yeah. I'm sure mechanics all
I forgot to tell you.
With their dates.
I forgot to tell you I was going to order lobster and the most expensive wine on the menu. What was it, $300 bottle?
Go ahead, George.
Give a cheap airline pilot a heart attack doing that.
Yeah. Before we go off, I must say that I should tell you that talking to a young lady down in San Juan the other day at the hotel, trying to get some plans as to how to do this, and she suggested that, may have mentioned this on the air last week, but she suggested that everyone that is going on the trip to call the hotel and make their own reservations instead of one person collecting and then paying for everyone's hotel room. Of course, they would call, and we would have a cutoff date in doing that, so that way if you did not make your hotel reservation, person on the standby list or the, what did you call it, Jim Hart?
The denied boarding list.
Denied boarding list. That didn't sound too good. But I like standby list. And then we'll call the next one, and then they make their reservations, and we'll probably need about 90 rooms, somewhere around there, for 150 people. I suppose a lot of these folks that have called in, Cecile, have been husband, wife, and in some cases even their children who are grown children, and I guess that would be another room, but any of the spouses and friends, some of the Eastern flight attendants and other gals that have checked in said that they had their, you know, friend that they used to work with that wanted to share a room. So we're figuring about 90 rooms.
Neil, I am presently registration chairman for the Florida chapter of the 8th Air Force, and this is the way we've always done it. We let the people make their own hotel reservations, but what we do is get in touch with the hotel and ask them to give us a block of rooms with a cutoff date. And when they give you a block of rooms, it's up to the individuals to get there first come, first serve, at whatever rate they give us.
Yeah, right. Very good. That's what we do with the REPA conventions.
Maybe we can get a discount.
Well, a $250 a night rate in February in San Juan is pretty much of a discount from $500 at the Ritz-Carlton a day. Yeah.
Save a few pennies for that Golden Corral dinner.
There you go. Well,
hello.
I see it's about that time.
Well, I hear our sign-off bumper music, and that tells me we're about out of time for this week's show. Folks, tell your friends about our show. More importantly, get involved with the rest of our hosts by participating in these broadcasts. You're welcome to participate live and on the air every Monday. We're glad we could get together again tonight and talk about our airline days and even about our competitors as we did a little bit tonight. It's all in good fun. To all of our listeners around the world, we say good night, Eastern family.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.